You good and trustworthy slave, you have been faithful with a few things. You will be entrusted with many things. This passage this morning starts with a simple truth, and that simple truth is God doesn't need your money, period. God doesn't need your money. The psalmist tells us in many places in Psalm 24, he tells us the fullness of the creation is the Lord's and everything is his. In Psalm 50, he tells us that God owns all of the beasts of the forest and the cattle on a thousand hills. God is not poor. And the reason I feel like I need to start there is because this is the first precept of stewardship. The very first precept of stewardship is God doesn't need your money, which is very strange the way we normally preach stewardship, because we often preach stewardship as though we've put a picture of a homeless person up in front and we call that person God. That God is derelict, or God is pitiful, or God has no resources other than the ones that you already have, and you've got to fork them over so that God can get a shower and a meal and clean clothes. That's next week's sermon, though, by the way. But that is not a stewardship sermon. The sermon next week has nothing to do with stewardship. The next week's sermon has to do with giving, and giving is different than stewardship. Stewardship has nothing to do with giving. That's what this parable tells us today, and it's because it starts with the fact that God is not poor. And that is where we start all of our stewardship campaigns. In fact, it should be on a banner. God is not poor. But that leads to the second precept of stewardship, which is here, which is that God trusts us with God's stuff. This parable starts with a very wealthy person, not poor, and what this person does is they decide to go on a trip, and instead of leaving this with some board of advisors, God, the master in this story, entrusts the things that he has in proportion to his slaves, to his servants. There's no trust set up. He's going on a trip, and he says, you know what would be the best thing for me to do is to give all of the stuff that I have to all my slaves. I'll divvy it up. And when I come back, we'll see what happens. Precept number two is that God entrusts us. And it says this actually multiple times. I entrust you, I entrust you, I entrust you. This is my stuff that I'm giving you. God isn't poor. God trusts us with his stuff. And then the third precept of stewardship that comes out in this parable before we dig into the details is that what God entrusts you with does not diminish. God does not make investments that back up or go underwater. Nobody in this parable today goes backwards. And we have no idea how these first two invested the money. They're slaves. They didn't go get MBAs somewhere. He gave each of them a chunk of his wealth and just said, manage this till I get back, and both of them double it. It could have been risky. They could have bought into some pyramids. Who knows? But God's investments do not back up. And even the one who is, at the end, sent out into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, he comes back with exactly the endowment he got in the beginning. It did not go backwards. Now, who knows if the pair of Jesus is thinking about inflation. I don't know how long the master was gone, but whatever was given to them comes back. That is precept number three. God's investments do not diminish. So if you start thinking about stewardship with these three things, God isn't poor, God trusts you, not just gives you. God trusts you with his stuff. And that his investments do not diminish. This changes the way we talk about stewardship. Because now stewardship does not become a matter of giving anything to God other than a report of how we handled the wealth that God has and entrusted to us that would not diminish. So this parable isn't, like I said, it doesn't give us the details, except for the one who does nothing with it, what they did with it, other than it grew. And the offering that they make to the master is not to give the master something of theirs. It's to report on how they handled what had been entrusted to them. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. When you get a pledge card, what you're supposed to be doing on that pledge card is not telling me what you're going to give God, not telling the leadership team of St. Luke's, not telling the bishop, not telling the church what you're going to give to the church. That pledge card is the report of what you're doing with the investment that God has already entrusted you with. Think about your offerings in that way as reports of the entrustment, the endowment that God has given you. It changes the perspective of how these things work. So, God isn't poor. God entrusts you with his wealth. God's investments don't diminish. And stewardship has nothing to do with giving. It has everything to do with reporting. But there is a tough part of this story, too, because these people will come every time I've ever said in a meeting or in a sermon that God doesn't need your money. People say, but how do we pay the bills? And I will tell you, there is somebody in the story that actually at the end does have nothing. And that is because the report of the investment they gave was one of fear. The difference of these slaves in the story has nothing to do with their financial acumen. It has everything to do with their approach to what they think the master wants done with what's been entrusted to them. And the first two believe that their job is to go out and who knows how to multiply it. Theirs is to take it into the public marketplace, to expose it to risk, and it comes back more than it was before. But the last servant, has a financial strategy that we call the shovel strategy, which is that we are to be the protectors of the endowment that God has given us and not the investors of it. And that happens when we think our job in the church is to make sure nothing can infiltrate it or nothing goes backwards. We think that God's investment could diminish if we did anything with it other than hide it under the ground. And so there are ways that stewardship is about having the things that one needs to move forward, but not in the way that we think about it. Not in the way that we think that there are actual bank balances or there are actual investment portfolios. It has to do with our approach to the report that we give about what has been entrusted to us. And the last very thing here, which is so un-American in this story, which is the fact that all of these folks get different amounts. And you might say, well, the person that got one should have, if he'd got five, maybe he'd approached it differently. If he'd have gotten a lot. But the truth is, and I think that this bears out in many cases, since this is not about bank balances, this isn't about the amount of cash in one's wallet, this isn't about an endowment that you would feel comfortable investing on behalf of the kingdom. God is trying, the master in the story, and God with us, is trying to make it so the things that we give us are not a burden. Because I don't think the one that got one resents it. His behavior shows he doesn't resent it. His behavior shows he got one, and he was so scared with one talent, he had to go hide it in the ground. Can you imagine if he'd gotten five? He would have buried it in the ground, he'd have left a note where it was, and he'd have left the country. He was so afraid of the weight of what had been given. So the master does scale it to our comfort level and our ability level. But also, he allows it so there is a way for us to grow what has been given to us. It doesn't stay at the level that it's at, and it doesn't have to. It can be turned into double what it was in the beginning, and even more can be endowed after that. I actually think the reason we talk about giving when we talk about stewardship is because it's a lot easier. It's got a real number on it. It has a real action to it. But if you think about the endowments that you have, and I'm not just talking financially, I'm not just talking spiritually, I'm also talking relationally. I'm also talking about the way that you've been endowed with your positions in your communities. If you think about those as endowments from God, and what your job is not to just go and make sure you never lose them, but you expose them to risk, that is a much more sobering thought. Stewardship's not easy, and I'm not going to ask you to put big numbers on any pledge form. But what God is asking you is to say, I gave you some stuff. What are you doing with it? Amen.